You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us.
Every gambler knows.
On this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is hit me up there. Still to come, about an hour from now, Del Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville. And then at the 11 o'clock hour, Lieutenant gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side, Pat Bishop, making his debut on the show. Joining us now from somewhere in Barber County, one of our Monday regulars here, State Representative Jennifer Fidler. Representative, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jeff?
Doing well. Tell us any luck this morning.
So I went turkey hunting with my husband, and we saw three or four gobblers, four, five hens, and I actually missed my first turkey ever. So you're the first to hear about it.
Hopefully that doesn't result in some kind of street cred being revoked, but
So yeah, we were going to go yesterday, and it was way too windy. But we are in Barber County. This is where my husband's family's from, and so I get to spend a little time here. I went to the Wilcox historical tour over the weekend. They have a historical tour in Wilcox County, so I got to do that, and then drove over before I head back into session tomorrow.
I've done that tour once before in Wilcox County around Camden and all those old homes, but that's worth checking out if you ever have the opportunity. Tell me something here. The 2 weeks to go, or 6 days, or however they decide to allot those days, but how are you feeling now that, I guess, spring break is starting to wrap up?
The, today is going to be the last day, I guess, in the House or in the Senate that we can, either one of the homes, the houses, can introduce a bill and get it through. So anything, any House bills, I guess, that you see coming through today, or any Senate bills that are coming through today over there, up there in the Senate, on Tuesday, those will be the ones that, the last ones that we're going to be able to get through. And then this week is a 3-day week. Wednesday we'll actually be gaveling in the old state house at the Capitol. It was something that we decided to do, the leadership decided to do, so that we could actually be able to, this body will be able to serve in all three chambers, all three house, all three buildings. So that will be just kind of a monumental experience for everyone, because next year everybody will be in a new state house.
That state house is coming along. I assume, I guess they'll start the deconstruction process, and barring some kind of off cycle special session, this will be it here.
This will be it. We've been told to go ahead and get everything out of our offices and make sure, and we've been given a date to make sure everything's cleaned out, so they can start doing the surplus. All the equipment and furniture and that sort of thing will go to surplus, so that you'll have opportunity to buy some of that stuff. I've been asked, and I did ask Representative Pringle the other day, because some people have asked me about mementos, like the marble that's inside, like what we're going to do with that. I think he's going to be able to repurpose some of that. But some people have asked, like, could we buy it? And I think they're going to come up with something that, anything that's usable that you can actually be able to purchase or have a piece of the old, the state house.
I just hope there's some kind of festivity when they implode the existing state house to see that.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody wants to be around. There's a lot of mold and things like that, issues that we've been working on as a state. They have worked on for many, many years. And perhaps they were probably maybe just getting a handle on it. But we've got members that every time they come, they are unwell. I mean, they are become sick. And then we've got so many employees that are working in that building that have been sick over the years. But it has some of those issues, and that's really probably the biggest reason we looked at, our leadership probably looked at, you know, actually having something a lot nicer and a lot better that's actually built to have the legislature meeting and people having, being able to come to a committee meeting and be comfortable and being able to actually fit in a room, because a lot of those rooms, as you know, are so small we cannot get all the people in the rooms for committee hearings.
Yeah, you have that one big room, but in some of those other rooms, you especially like ed policy or something like that, something hot button will be on there, and they'll have to go with some kind of overflow circumstance for those. And that's always been, you know, the problem, because this is supposed to be more open to the public than it is available.
Yeah, I've had several committees this year that they were overflowing into the hall and not everybody could get into the committee room. I sit on city, county government, ag and forestry. I can think of those two, and police, well, public safety and homeland security. I can actually think all three of those committees this year had people overflowing into the hallways and couldn't get into the rooms on some of our bills.
On your local delegation, like when y'all meet like a closet, it looks like, you know, just, there's just not, that building was never designed for what it has been used for since 1981, 82, whenever they moved.
Yeah, it was the Alabama Department of Transportation, and not sure exactly where they went, but the legislature moved them out. I was a lot younger back then, but so I don't know exactly where they went, but yeah, we moved the Department of Transportation out while they renovated the Capitol, and did those renovations, and then we just never moved back in. The legislature decided they liked their own office spaces and could get more work done than just a simple desk there at the Capitol. But yeah, this is an exciting week. We're on the countdown. We'll be we got a full agenda tomorrow. I don't think too many controversial bills. I looked over and read them all. It seems like they're pretty, I don't think we've got that many bills that are going to be hot topic items that I've heard. Please reach out if, you know, you guys out there, there is something that's important to you, so we can get with a bill sponsor at a time.
Well, that's my perception. But I've seen, I mean, we were geared up for a slow session this year, and how'd that work out? But I've, you know, coming back from spring break, everybody is just worn out and ready to go home. And then this is not even in a fourth year, but then something on that last day or second to last day sneaks up on the calendar on the floor, and next thing you know, it gets done, like VCAP or you know, that was last quadrennium, but there's always something to be, I guess, to be on the ready for, just in case.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's always things juggling in the background. So you absolutely got to stay on your toes, no doubt.
Well, you got here it is, we're winding down and new state house next year. But it's going to be new governor. It's going to be new colleagues in a lot of those seats in the House. When do you start thinking about 2027?
I think we already are. I mean, we, like, just for example, even the Rural Roadmap Committee that I was on this past year, we know that there's going to be several things on down the line that we're trying to do for, you know, our rural and small communities that we're going to need to really consider and already be thinking about how we craft some things to help economic incentives, or what can we do to, and sometimes those take a couple years to even formulate ideas or develop, you know, these, what can be done and these incentive programs, and work out a lot of the details. So you're working things out like in the months and year ahead of time, and sometimes years ahead of time. For example, I mean, and that's what I've been told about the breast reconstruction bill that I was carrying, that it may be a couple years, but these are things that we just need. There's some things that we need to work out. It takes time, and it's, you know, to make sure it's fleshed out.
Well, you approach that in good faith. And trying, and we talked about it on this show, trying to make everybody happy. But from what I can tell, Representative, I mean, it just, you didn't get a warm reception from a lot of folks that maybe you were hoping to. Is that the case, or what would you say?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, we've got the major players going, yes, we know there's an issue. Yes, Alabama needs to stand up and do something. How we do that, you know, is how exactly all that comes together, I guess, is the thing we've got to make sure we get together and make sure it's right. Because we know that these options and this access is federal law. I mean, we should be doing it. There should be access for women for any type of reconstruction they want, and it's just not here in this state. But with many states, it's just not here, that we have to travel out of state to get certain options, like harvesting your own fat to rebuild a breast. That just isn't available in some of our states, and that should be. And how do we make sure that access is there? And we have been working with insurance companies and the Medical Association of Alabama on trying to figure out, like, how do we get that word out there? How do we communicate and making sure that doctors know that because one of the things that did happen was that we know that insurance companies are now up in that the procedure rate. So that making sure doctors are knowledgeable that they can get paid more. So maybe we can have doctors here that give those and do those type of procedures here. In the long run, some of these reconstruction techniques are less, well, it's the studies show that it's less costly. It's less trauma on the patient. There's less times that she has to go back. It's mostly a she, so we're talking about all patients, but most, you know, she won't have her most, it's the end procedure. I mean, this is it's a finality procedure. Usually most 99% of the time don't have to go back and redo anything, where you have certain type of procedures that you are going back routinely every 10 years and redoing. So patient satisfaction is much higher. So when you look at all those facts and then you start really understanding it, then I think and that takes time. I mean, it just does. Some of these things are complicated, and, you know, for people to get their heads wrapped around it and making sure that we're doing the right thing and passing a state law that's good for everybody, then it does take time. We worked on it for 7 months before I dropped it, but, you know, there's always next year.
Or we got to see that. I guess you got to get through orientation and all that. But when that wraps up and you can start pre-filing, I guess we're going to see it very early, you think?
Yes, I hope so. We're going to work on it this year. I'll be having the meetings with the folks to make sure that everyone feels comfortable with it so we can move it forward. So, yeah, I hope I can get it dropped very early, and after making sure everybody feels comfortable with it, we can move it forward and not have so many issues, so many questions on it.
Well, I guess the message here is you're not letting this go.
Exactly. I can't. This is important for women, and access for this is important for women in the state. and we should be proud to stand up and be a state that's going to stand up for our ladies and for our women, for anyone that's going through this kind of trauma, that we need to make sure it's easy as possible for her to get and make the options that she chooses after breast cancer.
Right. So this will be up front. Anything else? And one more question about that, beyond the breast reconstruction legislation that you're looking at.
I did drop that wire transfer fee bill. I don't think it's going anywhere. I've left it with the committee in that you guys don't feel comfortable with us, we worked hard on that bill too. But you know, I just couldn't get any traction on it. But I look forward to, you know, working for the district and coming, you know, seeing what else we can do. There's a bill I hope to work with Mr. Gerald Allen on, Senator Allen on next year. So there's things that we're, you know, going to be bubbling up over the course of the next month that we'll be dropping for next year. Early as possible after orientation. Yeah.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but I always appreciate you coming on, and stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
I'll see you Tuesday, or whenever you get back to Montgomery, Jeff.
It'll be Wednesday for me. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just here.